sounding Vampire Weekend with Steve Lacy in tow, a tune called Sunflower. In front of that one was The Circles' Red Rubber Ball, a real classic from back in the day. It's 7.5 minutes past 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon, and as regular, our favourite attorney, Gavin Stein-Hobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., is in the house. Nice to have you back, Gavin.
Yeah, good to be back. That was a quick
I cannot
week.
Believe the week's gone by already. It's like we were talking yesterday, which is quite fun. But there has been a week in between.
There has.
And when we were talking yesterday, you said, let's now, going forward, because we had become like two grumpy old men.
We were.
Talking about what's wrong, and everyone knows what's wrong. But now.
And we were talking about Eskom in particular and load shedding and so forth, and we thought, well, let's think about solutions. And I thought immediately of Nick Jordan, who's with us today.
And you see how instantly a thought becomes an action.
Yeah.
And welcome to you, Nick. Nice to have you in the studio.
Thanks, Dave. Lovely to be here with you guys.
And just for those that don't know, Nick is the inspiration behind a whole bunch of very forward-thinking initiatives and holotrails. I mean, you can't get more forward-thinking than that.
Yeah,
but today we're going to be talking particularly about your new development, Fairview, which apparently is doing things somewhat differently to other developments in the area, and it kind of locks into our quest now to find good things.
To find solutions.
Solutions to problems that are obvious and ubiquitous. And that means that those are problems that affect all of us. So welcome, and let's open it up with maybe an overview of the Fairview ethos, the concept behind what you're doing.
Sure, thanks, Dave. The ethos at Fairview, I guess, is we've actually got a catchphrase called artisan living, and it's about going back to the old sort of way of living, which is, in fact, is sustainable living. Chickens in the garden, you know, harvesting your own eggs in the morning, growing veggies, fruit trees, orchards, and living closer to the land. And it's ironic that I would love to say it was a great vision. We didn't see Eskom and all the dramas coming, but it's ironic that that's almost where everybody wants to go now, because it's the one way to decouple from the grid, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And how, may I ask, are the development units decoupling from the grid effectively? Because one hears about, you can put a few solar panels here, but you still got to be connected, because when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing, you still need power.
Absolutely. So there's still lots of things to work out. We started with the development being small holding development, so our smaller sites are 2 hectares. We've also set up infrastructure on a borehole, so we've got 2 or 3 boreholes that supply the estate with the domestic water. And we also have a dam and another dam on the cards to be built. So we've got irrigation water going to each property too, where the owners or farmers, we like to call them farmers, can actually tap into the irrigation system if they want, and have a much more sustainable source of water for their gardens and orchards and veggies, etc.
So that irrigation is going to be piped, I presume, and pumped?
Correct, yeah, that's absolutely correct. So that's the pumped is a big catch there, because obviously pumps, as we're all realizing, with load shedding, a lot of suburbs are now running short of water because they don't have enough pump time to get the water where they need it to be.
Yeah.
So we did start, as the Fairview Estate vision rolled out, we identified solar as being very important. We negotiated with Quatacusa to get a bulk meter, so we've got a bulk meter at the entrance to our estate. And that's enabled us to now start running everything on solar within the estate. So we can actually provide our residents with either solar and or buy solar from them if they've got excess capacity, and run what I learned the other day is called a mini grid within the estate.
Wow. So you're doing pretty much what Cape Town is trying to do. And the proof of the concept, of course, is going to be exciting, because when it works, because I have no doubt it will, I presume that'll be a matrix or a kind of almost a roadmap for similar types of reticulation of renewable or sustainable energy for other developments.
Absolutely. There's an amazing amount of stuff. Fortunately, we're not the only ones having an energy crisis. I think the whole world is suffering under some guise of energy crisis, and there's some incredible new technology coming out, which we've been exploring, and even some old technology. You know, hydropower is when you have a turbine running off gravity weighted, or rather water running off a hill or a high point. At Fairview, we happen to have, with our views, we happen to have a lot of high points. So we're investigating, and again, it's still very new, but it's a very simple technology to pump water up during the day with solar.
That's right.
And effectively, we have a battery that you let go in the evenings at your peak demand period. And so that's something we're looking at, doing the numbers. And we don't know if we've got enough head, and we don't know what the volume of water is required as yet. But as a technology, it's an incredible amount of stuff out there that we can start tapping into and using.
They've been doing that at Sterkfontein for quite a long, for decades, where they pump water up at night.
And then release it.
You know, between 12 and...
Yeah.
And then they let it run through again. And so it is a battery. It's a storage system.
Wonderful thinking. And as you say, technology is making things... making things more accessible, because a lot of the components required to create, deliver, store, etc., are now much smaller and much more compact, and much more durable as well. When I say that, I'm referring, of course, to the way technology has enabled us to tap natural resources like the wind, like sun, like water, and convert it very efficiently and very effectively into energy that can either be stored in a battery or used instantly.
I haven't noticed at home the cost of panels is way cheaper than when I first started putting them up.
You know, it's becoming a problem, a solar panel, because I've discovered they have discovered that we don't have a disposable solar panel, and we don't have capacity to effectively get rid of them in the waste cycle that currently exists. There's no way of recycling them.
Oh, I thought they last forever.
No,
they don't. And having looked into it, interesting enough, there's different types of panels now. Uh-huh. When I first started, I thought a panel is a panel. And there's different technologies of panels, and they have pros and cons, and some have longer lifespans, some work better in heat. I forget there's a cobalt type one. I forget the terminology for what it is, but it's apparently got a longer lifespan. But then they have a fear that there's more waste material in it when it does end. But these are all the things you got to start weighing up, and I guess
it's interesting to see that cobalt, which was in short supply and prices had gone sky high, like $80,000 a ton, is now almost they're almost giving it away. I don't know. Apparently, the demand has dropped. And the supply has increased, so it's
technology moves on. There's probably a new thing that they're using.
Yeah.
Do you commit? Have you committed an area of the estate to a solar array or anything like that?
It's one of the challenges we have. We're having to look for land to have the space capacity that we can put solar onto. So it is still in the process of that.
Okay.
But our first step is to I've got some space set aside for it. And then we do want to tap into the residents. So the other thing we've got is we've got smart metering on our estate.
Okay, so you can feed back.
We can feed back into the grid and measure. And even, for example, if there's a demand for, if there's not enough solar, but there's demand for pumping water, for example, we could direct that solar at the water pumps and not have it trying to spread out by too many people, if that makes sense.
In your building code, is it mandatory then to go solar in terms of your homes when the dwellings that people are building there?
We haven't made the solar mandatory. I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of people that will do it. Mm. Possibly in time, if we can get all our details in a row, we'll put the solar up, and then the resident won't have to put it on his home, which would be a preferable way to do it, have a centralized solar. So we're working very hard on that at the moment. We are very big on sustainable building and green building. So all these things like cool houses that are designed with airflow, et cetera, et cetera.
Nick, is water quite available in this area in terms of boreholes and that?
Yes, it is.
I'd imagine it's all coming to the sea, whether it's coming through the rivers or underground. We must have good water here.
We're very fortunate. We have very good boreholes in around Fairview and under Fairview, essentially. But it's interesting. We've had to have a rule that only the estate can drill boreholes and manage boreholes within the estate if they're part of the water scheme. Because, like in Belita, I think every fourth man wants to drop a borehole and they all start competing for the same water.
Yeah, the aquifers are going to empty out. I know that Mshlali Golf Club's got a particularly good borehole that's been through drought and everything. It's never, ever failed. And they've used it for the golf course and so forth. So we must have pretty good water here.
We're certainly way better off than people in the Highveld, where they're all competing for that groundwater, and if it's not managed very carefully. So we've done big studies, hydrological studies, to make sure that we manage our water very carefully, pumping times, etc., etc.
Okay, and tell me, do you have to treat the water to use it domestically?
We do need to treat it as part of the legislation that allows us to provide water to the homes. But fortunately, our water is very good quality, so it doesn't require much treatment, but we will be treating it.
Oh, splendid. There's some good news there. Huh?
Yeah.
Now, for those listening to, and you may have just joined us now, if you're on the Homeward Run and you're wondering what we're talking about, Nick Jordan has put together a most fantastically interesting, off-grid to a degree development that gives you the opportunity to live life like in the old days, with a bit of space to roam and to raise a few head of livestock, maybe, and certainly some chickens and some fruit trees and some vegetables. You can actually live sustainably if that's what you want to do, and teach the kids about the wonders of nature. But even further than that, it's going to be built to a point where you don't have the nightmare of, is Eskom going to give us power today, or are they not, and are we going to run out of water because of the fact that there's no power, and all of that that goes with it. So Nick, where is Fairview, and do you still have stands available?
We do. We just passed Holler Trails, literally 2 km up the road, 3 km up the road from Holler Trails inland. So we've got a lovely outlook over the coastline from, we can see basically from Sheffield, in fact even further north all the way through to south of Ballito. And we're about 65% sold, so we do still have some sites available. And we have a third phase, which is included in that balance of sites, which we'll be launching in about 3 to 4 months' time. So it's very exciting for us. We've been obviously super chuffed by the uptake and the vision that we've sort of dreamt up, and the appeal that this type of living has for people looking for a new place to build a home, etc. And when you're talking about getting off grid, etc., that's obviously the best time for anybody to get off grid, is to build their home
from the get-go
with the battery packs and the solar packs and all that sort of stuff involved there.
And what is the sort of entry level starter price? Just thinking in terms of positioning it in the market.
Our prices range from about 3 million up to about 4.5. I think Gabe's busy transferring one of our bigger ones at the moment. But yeah,
is that just for the site, or the?
That's just for the site. Okay. Yeah. But they're 20,000 square meters, so your rands per square meter shows incredible value if you compare to anywhere else in Ballito.
Also, I think, Nick, you guys have got an idea that you will have sort of a mac farming cooperative where people can plant mac trees on their stands and then form part of the cooperative to supply macadamia nuts when they're harvested.
So my partner, Nick Leach, it was his brainchild, and it was an amazing one he came up with. He founded the Macadamia Co-op, so it's Fairview Mac Co-op. And we've already got, and I forget the numbers now, something like 30 or 40 members, I think, stand to be corrected, of the co-op who've all gone ahead and put macadamias into their plots. So for a 2-hectare site, provided you can squeeze a hectare of macadamias on your site, you can become a bona fide macadamia farmer without the headaches of learning how to mac farm.
Yeah, even something like that, if it covers your rates and your holding costs of your property, it's even more sustainable.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So there's lots of interesting ideas that are being brought to fruition in this development. And obviously the proximity to the international airport and the flesh pots of Ballito and the North Coast make it attractive in a sense to those that live further afield, that are looking for lifestyle and an alternative to the horrors of the big smoke and the general degradation. And there is a hell of a lot of that in particularly the Johannesburg precinct, but they still have business interests there they need to maintain. And now it's a real possibility that you can live here part of the time and commute to the big smoke. It's definitely a lot of people are doing it. So I presume your market is not just limited to the North Coast and the stretch here, but you're reaching further afield, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Interestingly enough, we were caught by surprise by the number of locals who invested in Fairview in the early days when we launched. I think that there was a much easier way to understand what we were, where we are, and the location, and guys would be riding through Holler Trails and could see what we were doing, and I guess they went for it nice and quickly. We definitely have started pushing the Joburg market much more. We've got a number of guys who are looking to do exactly that semigration type of market. It's quite an interesting one. So we almost feel like we're competing with the Cape. Everybody knows the Cape so organized.
But the Cape, interestingly enough, obviously their politics is very user-friendly. And
it's attractive.
Everyone looks at it and says, well, here's an example of what South Africa could be. The problem is exactly that. Everyone is going there, and it's now jam-packed. I mean, to commute in Cape Town, I was there a couple of weeks back. it's just not an option.
It's so interesting for me because I've literally felt like that kid who's been beaten and he's too scared to come and stand up for himself. You know, we've been through the looting here, which obviously Cape Town was spared.
Yes.
And we sort of feel a little bit apologetic, but you know, we've got this spectacular place, and I still maintain it. The North Coast, I have no doubt, is in my mind, is the best place in the world. There's nowhere else that I want to live. I promise you, we live in absolute paradise, and it just takes a little trip away to go anywhere else and come back, and you realize.
Well, exactly that. I went not specifically to go and look see because we're here and invested here, absolutely. But we have half our team in Cape Town, so we're not to have. And we traveled around a bit. Is it called the Eastern Seaboard or whatever? The sort of below Bergstrand area where there's a lovely, big, expensive golfing development. It's like a desert. Mm. You've got this blue sea and then desert.
It's pretty barren.
It's awful. It's ugly. Fynbos is okay. It's got its attractions, but I don't want to live in it. And then, and what else has it got going for? Cape Town. Okay, but you get on the road and you're sitting there in a traffic, almost perpetual traffic. No, thank you. This is the place. We've just got to sort out a couple of things. We need to make sure that we are secure. And I think, in a sense, what you're discussing and talking about in Fairview takes care of that almost as a given. That's important. And then we have the infrastructure that gives us enough power and water to continue. And then let the world carry on.
You don't have to sort out the weather because that's perfect already.
It is perfect.
That's just the case. Hey? But, I mean, we're being flippant. But obviously there are serious issues. But the point is, the more solutions that get put on the table and the more positive options that get brought to life through visions like yours, Nick, this, I think, is what attracts good quality and good caliber people to the area. And the interesting thing when you've got that kind of resource coming in, it almost a multiplier effect because people are coming with
Correct.
A huge amount of experience and understanding, and solutions flow from that when you have civic cooperation. And I think maybe the future is going to be like that. We've got the resources in terms of human capacity, experience. There is a municipality that, you know, they're not too bad. If you think work it out together, things can happen.
Our municipality is not too bad. They're functioning pretty well, actually. Yeah. And they've certainly bolstered the guys. The UIP are doing a great job, eh?
The UIP is doing an exceptional job, and it's showing the way forward. And it's being extended now as we speak because more and more developers are seeing the value. Initially, it was literally just the CBD and various nodes that were funded by big land or property barons, if you like, those that have access to funds because it's all paid for by people that have a stake in the game, serious stake in the game. And those that come into the area and almost surprised at how clean it is and how functional it is, certainly the main arterials of. And they say, well,
you don't have to travel far to see how lucky we are to have our town in this condition.
Well, exactly that. And I think more and more, because initially I know that it was a hard sell. The UIP was not a slam dunk. I remember when it was a serious vote put to.
Well, I can imagine the sentiment is we're paying rates already. Mm. Why do we have to pay more?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah. We're double paying. But the fact of the matter is that's the reality.
It. And if you're in an estate, you're paying levies. That's rates in reality. Because you're paying for your environment to be kept up through reticulation of electricity, sewage, and is done by your own estate. That's, you know, things that you. Municipality should be doing, and that you're paying rates for, but you can't leave it to them. So
we,
I bet we, you know, South Africans are. I always say we wonderfully optimistic people, but sometimes we lack a bit of realism. And I think our energy crisis is pretty much here to stay, at least in the medium term. And if you're realistic about that, then a solution like Nick's got here, you know, where the plan is to get off the grid. Or at least not be entirely reliant on the grid. It's a good one, and I'm interested to see how you guys go and whether you manage to, you know, be almost off the grid entirely. Because that's the future. I mean, the less we depend on our government, the better, you know. And it's interesting. I'd like to next know, you know, whether there's an industrial answer to this, because I don't think you can beat cheap electricity made in bulk by a central supplier. For industry, and but you know, if you take a lot of the domestic demand away, maybe we've got enough electricity.
Well, there is that, and there's a lot of talk now in circles that are far more connected than I will ever be. But there seems to be a lot more positivity, and funny enough, in the last 10 days I've been discovering more and more positivity around the fact that, well, yeah, there is talk that the grid might collapse, but on the other hand, there's some very, very encouraging signs down the line. And we're not talking initially, though, we're talking 10, 12 years down the line. Now the timeline has been brought forward quite considerably, and we're looking at it probably maybe 2 to 3 years until sufficient additional power comes into the grid to stabilize and to minimize load shedding to a point where we can actually see the light, pardon the pun, at the end of the tunnel. But it is a lot more encouraging looking at it this way, and I think largely because so many developments and forward-thinking businesses are taking the initiative to go the route that you're talking about and to then release the responsibility away from Eskom and those few power stations that are still producing, to concentrate their resources on the industrial sector, which needs it most. But even then, apparently, South Africa has deindustrialized. Not a good thing necessarily, but it's happened. So we don't require as much power as we did in the past.
I think it's very interesting. You know, I think it's R.W. Johnson, the political commentator, who said that he expects us to be better off in 3 years' time, because by virtue of the poor management, we will be one of the most privatized economies in the world.
You've been listening to Alec Hogg, yes, and the guys. Yes, isn't that just fascinating stuff?
And I love that story. And South Africans are so resilient, you know. We will literally make a plan, a Boermarker plan. It's like literally how this country was built. And we will make a plan, and we'll come away with a better way to get our electricity into where we need it.
Well, I love the sentiment, and I echo and share your views. You're putting your money where your mouth is and doing great stuff. I wish you huge success with Fairview and all of your other operations. Gavin, I think this is a good tack we've taken. I feel a lot more energized.
Yeah, we were becoming a bit grumpy about the powers that be. Nick's been a breath of fresh air. So well done, Nick, and me as well, all the best.
So let's reconvene in a week's time with hopefully some more good news.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys. Lovely chatting.
Nick Jordan and our attorney at law, Gavin Steinhoppel from Kloppers Inc. I'm Dave Charles, and you're tuned to 88 FM Radio, Life and Style from Ballito.